And now... And now a museum consultant for the Jewish Merchant Project. I first met Lynn when she was the executive director of the McKissick Museum. I hate to say this, but I did not know Lynn, nor did I ever hear of the McKissick Museum. Boy, did I learn fast. When Lynn and Dale work together, the results are not great, they're fantastic. Lynn received a Master of Arts in History from the American University in Washington, D.C., and her training in museum practices from the Smithsonian Institute in Washington and Columbia University in New York. Lynn was executive director of the McKissick Museum and interim director of the Columbia Museum of Art, as well as a board member for the 701 Center for Contemporary Arts in Columbia. She currently serves on the board of South Carolina Society. As an advocate for regional arts, culture, and the environment, Lynn received the Governor's Award in Humanities, as well as several national awards for academic achievement and museum service. It's great to have Lynn working with us again. I proudly introduce her to you.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's great to be here among you. You know, when I agreed to kind of take this on, I came to the meeting last fall in Sumter, and it really was kind of like coming home. All these people that I had worked with, a portion of the people, and this is one of the warmest group of people. People would come up and say, oh, good to see you, good to see you. I'm so glad that you're doing this project. I feel a little embarrassed up here because exhibitions, single people don't do exhibitions. They really are a joint project, and it takes a lot of people to keep all the wheels moving at the same time. So I'm just one person, Dale. Rachel's the person who approached me. I think you all know Rachel. Rachel is this incredible person that has so many projects going, and all of them very, very meaningful and very content rich. But when Rachel approached me and said, what about this project? And we need somebody with some museum experience, some exhibition experience, would you be interested? And the idea of working with the Jewish Historical Society, but most of all, the idea of working again with Dale Rosengarten, who could say no? And of course, Alyssa, who, as was said earlier, we would have these exhibition meetings, and I'd say, okay, what I want is a photograph with these people in it, and 2 hours later in my Dropbox, which she had to explain to me how to use Dropbox, it would definitely be there. It's also been to a slight personal detour here, is that I could say my father was a merchant, but not really. He was really what at the time was called a traveling salesman. He was a manufacturer sales agent, the guy who represented the factory in Chicago to all of the wholesalers and the very large retailers. And so he worked the east coast of Florida. We lived in Miami, and our garage was his store. And he worked the East Coast in a station wagon with all of his samples in the back of the station wagon. And kudos to David Furchkot, who is here. I always liked it best in my teens when we would turn the trip to Jacksonville into a family vacation, because we could go to Furchkot's, and they had much better merchandise than the stores in Miami. And they had these cool little shopping bags with like strawberries on them. But anyway. The other thing that resonated with me working on this project is how being in sales, you learn a lot of good lessons that you carry with you for the rest of your life. I learned very quickly that that everybody who's a customer is kind of on an equal playing field, not to be judgmental, but to deal with people as individual people. That you have to really listen, even to the crazy store owner who calls the fifth time and wants to know why their merchandise is not getting to Miami from Chicago on time in January. but at the same time, you know, I learned that there were a lot of scam artists out there, so you need to pay attention to your environment. But most of all, I remember my father always telling me, never tell a customer you can do something you can't do. Honesty is something that that you carry with you for the rest of your life. But anyway, that's kind of a personal aside. Working on the exhibition was really a team effort. As I said, we met many times and talked about what were the main stories we wanted to tell, because as you heard today, there's so many possibilities. And so we came up with a number of themes that we felt really got to some of the essential parts of the story. And as you go over and see the exhibition, you'll notice that we came up with these themes and we wrote a narrative that explained kind of what each of these sections were. And two of the things that we came up with, as we discussed in the beginning, that I thought were really important was the whole idea of immigration, that people who come to this country bring with them skills, and every group brings with them a different set of skills. Just as my relatives came poor and wanted to buy land because that was what was taken away from them, merchants came with a certain family relationships and the skills of running stores rather than running farms. And I thought that was something that I carry away from the exhibition that we could think about for the world today. And the other thing is, we didn't want it to be a sad story because we didn't want the focus of the exhibition to be on there were these great small stores and then they all closed and we've lost a lot. So you will notice that the end of the exhibition really talks about the evolution on how entrepreneurship finds different outlets. As we just heard here, Sam Solomon and the ways in which they changed merchandising, the movement out to the malls by a number of other stores. So when you go through the exhibition, the first section is called A good business can be made in trade, and we tried to divide that into both the business of running a store. We wanted very much that to be a part of what you see, not just the goods in the store, because it took a lot of organization to do all of the kinds of bookkeeping, ordering, of merchandising, and that. So the first large panel's display case you see on the left side has a lot of business equipment, and on the right side a lot of the kind of goods that were particularly for dry goods stores. We also developed the topic quality goods cheap, talking about the networks of wholesalers. Somebody brought up the Baltimore wholesaler, which is the Baltimore Bargain House. Yes. Which was a great place. Many of the merchants, and they would offer, if you bought enough merchandise, they'd give you a free trip up there, which was great. You know, come to Baltimore. But they were one of the few large wholesalers that would offer goods on credit. And it's a wonder. Anybody here who wants to do some research, the Baltimore Bargain House is a wonderful organization to look at. There's a section, Americans to the Core, that talks about the involvement in politics and civic things. One of the types of objects we couldn't find, so get out there and look in your attics, was the involvement of women in civic organizations. Thanks to Ernie Marcus, we could find one object that was a citation from from the National Garden Clubs. Women were very important in communities, and we really wish we could have found more more documentation in terms of physical objects and how they were involved in communities. Let's see, new times, new stores. We talk about going out of business, but we also talk about the relocation of stores for new things. We did want to cover the whole idea of what a careful way in which merchants had to negotiate community life in terms of serving a basically white Gentile customer base and at the same time serving African Americans. And as mentioned here, you'll notice some reproductions of some documents from the South Carolina Library that deal directly with the KKK. And look closely, there is a letter from, I think it's the Citizens Council, asking for the distribution of some anti-integration materials. And in the letter, they suggest that they be sent to all of the merchants in the towns in South Carolina, which I thought was very interesting considering the large percentage of the merchants being Jewish merchants. So that's very interesting. We have a section called Customers and Cars, and one, the very last, in Reinventing Retail. And as I said, we really wanted the end of the story to be one of how entrepreneurship finds new ways. So we've been talking about doing some programming, and some of the things that I think that if you look at the exhibition, there's some things to think about for contemporary society. One of which is the fact that as stores have become more data driven, and less about the merchant knowing his customer base and being somebody who's actively involved in the store, what does that mean about, what is the carryover for our society in that we have become much less person-to-person oriented and much more looking at the science of selling rather than the humanistic art of selling. Recently I saw an article in the New York Times about the end of a 40-year career, which is about Andrew Rosen, who was the CEO of Theory, which is a very big women's retailer. And he said, I thought it was really interesting because he said, what I can offer the company is two different things. To me, being a merchant is the guy who understands how to put everything together and tell the story. It's still important, but it's no longer the future of merchandising or fashion or markets in this country. And so I think that's it's an interesting point, how things are changing within our society, which is, you know, not just related to stores.
Let's see.
One of the other ones that I think the exhibition brings up that's a good talking point is, what do we lose in the urbanization of American culture as everybody's moving to a big town and more small towns are depopulated? Are we losing, you know, some of that, those rural values and small town life? What does that mean? Immigration, certainly, you know, we've talked about immigration in terms of relatives coming over. What is the whole story of immigration these days? So I think it's not, looking at the exhibition isn't just an exercise in history or nostalgia. It also brings up some issues that we can talk about for today. So does anybody have any questions? That's kind of my quick take on things. Yes?
Is this going to be a permanent exhibit?
No, but it will be up. The college has been very generous. It will be up. The upstairs, the objects, will be on view until December 1st, roughly, for the whole summer and the fall semester.
So the entire exhibit will be up?
Yes.
Okay.
What we've done is the large panels downstairs in the rotunda that talk about the topics and have the narrative text have been reproduced in smaller size right next to the exhibition spaces. so that you don't have to read and then go look. They're right here. But it was great trying to find the objects. So all of you at home who have objects in, you know, not large objects, smaller objects, get touch them down, yes.
So when we were in Sumter, there was some discussion about the exhibit touring to amongst small towns or around the state, is that?
What the discussion has been is traveling, you'll notice in the rotunda there are large pop-up panels. And the idea was traveling the pop-up panels because every city has their own particular story, and it would be a way of engaging that community by getting them then to do objects that reflect whatever city it's in. The panels look great, and a lot of that's thanks to Rachel with her PR and background. But that's kind of the next step, is making those contacts with organizations and working out a schedule. There was another, yes?
I was just going to ask them tonight at the 6:30 reception as we come in, so we get to see the whole exhibit at that time?
Yes.
Okay.
The big panels are downstairs in the rotunda, along with iPads that allow you to have access to the website. That allow you to get access to the website, and then you can go upstairs where within Special Collections are all of the artifacts.
That's the third floor?
Special Collections, third floor. And, you know, one of the good things about an exhibition like this is it can evolve as objects become available. As I'm sure somebody tonight will say, whoa, I have a so-and-so, or you should have borrowed my thingy. You know, there's always the ability to change things and add things as time goes by. But we did try very hard to link the objects in the cases with the text which is next to it. So even if you're not a reader, read the text and look at the cool stuff. And I want to thank all of the people, all of here or people that you know that lent their items to the exhibition. You can't have an exhibition without stuff. Jeffrey.
Stuff.
He wants, you
know.
There you go.
Tonight is a celebration. And we're not only going to preview the Merchants Project, but we're going to celebrate 25 years. There'll be plenty to drink. Plenty to eat. Let's all enjoy ourselves.
Don't leave.
There you go.
All right, I get 2 seconds to give a commercial since everybody has used my name. So, a year ago, I said we have 25 years. We'll be celebrating. Let's do an exhibit. And of course, innocence is bliss. So, I went to Robin Waite's and said, here's my idea. And she looked at me and she said, I think you need to call Lynn Robinson. So thank you for that piece of advice. And she said, exhibit, you mean 2 years, right? And I'm like, no, next year. So I want you all to know that it takes a lot of work and a lot of talent goes into putting this together. And I'm going to thank all of you. I want you to know is this is just the beginning. I mean, there is so much more that we can do. There's so many more layers that we can go. And the whole Jewish Merchant Project started because, quite frankly, that's what Isidore wanted. If you think about it, we were founded because small town Jewish life was leaving. And what is the name of the story? The story is the Jewish Merchant. So we have been talking this and capturing it for 25 years. It just wasn't in one place. So think of the Jewish Merchant Project as a marathon, not a sprint. The website, please keep sending us your materials. We are still working. We have over 100 entries. That's only scratching the surface. I mean, we have found more and more. And every time we uncover another town, another story, we uncover a lot more questions. So it has been an absolute joy and pleasure to work with these talented people this year. We're only getting started. So I just wanted to give that a pitch. Merchants.jhssc.org is our web address, and there is a form there that you can go and fill out. If you don't want to do that, Call me. I'll take it over the phone. Mark the rats up.
Fabulous. Everybody else has had a chance to thank Rachel and Lynn and Dale, but certainly my thanks as well. And today has been really a wonderful opportunity to look backwards, to look at our history. We're a historical society, after all, and looking at the role that Jewish merchants have played in our history has been a real joy for me personally. Some of you may have read in our most recent magazine, my folks were merchants. My great-grandfather was a merchant in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And so while I don't necessarily claim South Carolina roots, I certainly claim merchant roots. And so this is something that's very important to me also. So I won't tell you the specifics again. I certainly will. The exhibit is on the first floor. When you're first entering the Addlestone Library, you can do so. We prefer you do so from the Calhoun side. That's the sort of the main street on the library. You can enter from the Rivers Green side. I'll make sure that somebody's standing there, but it'll only be the Calhoun side that has open doors. I'll have somebody posted by the back doors, but only the Calhoun side doors will be open. And then beyond that, once you're done sort of looking through the first floor, please do join us on the third floor. That's where the bar and food will be. I'm sure you'll get up there. And without further ado, please do let me know if you have any questions. If you need help getting over to the library, let myself or Enid know. We do have a golf cart for that purpose. And we look forward to seeing and celebrating with y'all tonight.
At 6:30.
At 6:30.